What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the show. This is Option Trading Concepts Live. My name is Nick Batista. I've got my man Mikey Butler and, of course, Katie McGarrigle in the house with me today. If you want to come join us, hop over to YouTube, type in Tasty Live, come to our channel, give us a like, and subscribe to our videos because that helps us immensely. But more importantly, come chat with us live because we'll be taking questions throughout the show. Whatever you got questions on, from strategies, concepts, trade ideas, trade management, whatever, just come hang with us for the next hour of the day, my favorite hour of the day, because I spend it with my buddies, Mike and Katie. Katie, how are you?
I'm good. Welcome back, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We missed
Thank
you so much.
Yes. No, I was actually getting, because I did Johnny trades yesterday.
Oh. Did you do a little staycation?
Kind of. Yeah. Well, Mikey was out, so I was like, you know what? You just take a little break.
Life's away.
Yeah.
The dog will play.
It wasn't exactly a break because I did the Johnny trades. They had a couple kerfuffles that I had to deal with. But the big dogs were saying that millennials, you know, us, we need our mental health days. They were calling it a mental health day for me. And I was like, you know what?
This is coming from the two guys that spent 2 hours on Monday playing Papa Shot.
We're just gonna put that out there.
Great question.
You know, it's pretty nice when you can just spend 2 hours playing Papa Shot.
Yeah, I agree.
But
nobody works around here. No high fives.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like I literally was like going from several meetings and they were just parked.
Yes.
And you're like going from one meeting to the next, and they're still going at it.
Yeah. Love it. Yeah, how are we gonna grow the business? Here's the strategies and tactics, and they're just like, I think I can get this one from 5 feet away.
Well, yeah, 1 foot back. What? Yeah, they did. Stork style. You got to put 1 foot up.
Speaking of not, oh, you got a live look. Okay, he's eating lunch.
Oh, are they?
Love it.
Oh.
There's the Papa Shot.
Oh, I can't see it.
There it is.
Oh, I love the live look. Look at this.
Papa Shot.
There's the Papa Shot. Yeah. Originally, it was supposed to be taken down. Tom was very adamant that it was too much like in view. It was blocking too much of the view there. But I guess he's changed his tune a little.
Oh, yeah. Right? There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on a little bit of a delay compared to you guys.
I like that. I actually have talked to Garrett. I want to get remember that short period of time where right by Mikey and I, they had the camera and the mic.
Oh, gosh.
So that we could chime in when the two...
Yeah.
You know,
we can bring that back.
Yeah, when they would talk crap about us and we could chime in and be like, hey, you know. So I think we're going to bring that back at some point.
That might work.
As long as it stays far away from me and my little seating situation.
Yeah, you're in like the nook.
I'm with the
squirreled away.
You know, I'm with, you know, the margin guys and they're talking about what happens if Jeff Bezos buys the Bears and what the stadium is going to look like. So I've got all of that intel.
That would be amazing.
If the Bears actually run out that the preview of the renderings of what I've seen, it'd be sick.
Yeah.
The entrance that walks
out. Tax dollars at work.
I put a 2 delta on that.
Yeah.
A 2 delta. And
I mean, because they were supposed to do the whole Arlington Park, and that was like a 60 delta, and then went to zero quickly.
Well, that ground is cursed, the Arlington Park racetrack, as Mikey knows.
Yeah. Why?
I got stranded there one time.
How?
Why? She did.
I mean,
and it was crazy because we were dialed in intuitively.
Yes.
Yeah. We had like a, I forget.
We had like
what
a
was.
Christmas party, and it was like when Mikey was still living in the suburbs, and I was like making my way back on a Sunday morning, and it was one of those things where it was like worst timing, phone's on like 1%.
Yeah.
I need to show the conductor my virtual ticket on the phone. I run to him, and as soon as I'm like trying to show it to him before my phone dies, the phone dies.
Okay.
And he is a total jerk and does not let me on the train.
Wow.
And I have no cash, and the next train's not for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing like ugly Christmas sweater.
Oh my God.
Green muumuu, but I was at the Arlington racetrack. Yeah.
Oh my.
And what's crazy is I left the racetrack and I like had this feeling in my head. I'm like, I should probably like turn around
check
and just
Katie.
Make sure that she actually got on the train. And I turned around and I looked on the platform and nobody was there. So I was like, okay, cool. She got on.
I did.
And I went back home. And then 3 hours later, she's like, you'll never believe what happened. I just spent 2.5 hours at the sports bar across the street. I'm like, oh my God.
2.5 hours at the sports bar. The bartender didn't have my phone charger. Thankfully, a group of people going to the Blackhawks game came in and they had my phone charger type, and they were just angels sent from from heaven.
Okay. But
long story long, screw first. Arlington Racetrack.
First.
happy if there were to be a 2 Delta Stadium in Chicago.
Yeah.
But I kind of agree with you, Nick.
All I know is they got to do something with these Sox because nobody's going to the games.
Yeah,
since
that's another.
Well, it's just so funny because like a season or two ago, like they were the hot boys of the league.
Yeah, they were literally the hot boys league. Chains out.
I know.
Shirts all the way down to here.
Yeah.
Flapping in the wind.
Hot boys.
They were. They were the hot boys of the MLB.
Yeah.
But I'd still go to a game. I got good food down there. I'm a Southside Irish gal. Like that's my stomping grounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. The stadium, if anything,
the food is fantastic.
Yeah. Because now you can get tickets for $5.
Yeah.
All right. Tasty outing.
Yeah.
Mark your calendars.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Beautiful.
So it looks like the market's reversing a little bit.
I was going to say, like, we all wearing like neutral colors. Like, is that a sign of what's happening in the market? Like, did we predict that when we got dressed this morning? Or?
No, this is just like my color palette.
Muted.
All looks the same. Yeah.
I get it. I'm the same.
Yeah. I need a personal stylist, I think.
We'll get you some Stitch Fix boxes.
No, don't mention that. That's a Mikey.
I don't know what that is anymore.
Oh.
That's one word.
It's like Peloton. What's a Peloton? Couldn't tell.
Peloton, I think it had earnings yesterday after the close, maybe? Or this morning?
It's a $2.80 stock. Wow.
This morning. Yeah, look at that.
It tried to rally and then dumped.
Yeah. Whew. Somebody on Reddit asked me about Peloton. I was like, that is on my do not trade list. So good luck with that one. But
yeah, it's like in Westworld. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Right? Yep. Or she's like, doesn't look like anything to me.
Yes.
When you stare at it and doesn't see like the photo.
Yes.
It's just like that when you see a Peloton in the wild.
Looks like nothing to me. But yeah, we've got some interesting earnings on deck today.
Mm-hmm.
We got Apple. We
Big
got
boy.
Coinbase. We got DraftKings. Kind of love to see it.
DraftKings. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm sure we'll get into those.
Yes.
Yeah. So lots more to do, lots more to see. It is Thursday. And
PGA Thursday?
It is PGA Thursday. Uh-huh. And you just love to see a Thursday after the close earnings announcement. One of my favorites.
Thursday special.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing how you are playing it or how you are navigating it with your existing trade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm also interested in partaking, but as you'll see, my trade idea for today is already looking pretty good. So your girl's about to have to cover it.
Love it.
Beautiful.
Now that I said that, it's just going to correct.
Of course.
Ooh.
Quick little market update, and then I got a bunch of trades that I've done over the last couple of days. Did you do anything while you were gone?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you done anything? You've probably done some stuff.
I just ripped off the Band-Aid of the painful copper, but as it turns out, it worked for the two of you and hopefully some others out there that might have followed in that micro copper trade.
Your pain was our gain.
Correct. So, I'm a martyr.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
But yeah, other than that, I've been super light. So yeah, what's going on?
E-mini S&P 500 futures up 16.50-62 here. Had a nice little rally yesterday, but they gave it up a little bit on the close. Continuing that rally today after Jay Powell came on the stand. NASDAQ up 91. You got the Dow up 130 and the Russell up 22. So the Russell, the strongest of the group. Oil giving it up a little bit, /CL 78.73, down 27 cents. Had a big move down. Maybe I'll look at something there. Volatility futures, /VX 1540, down 30 cents. You got bonds down 9. You got gold basically unchanged, down $1. Silver up 4 pennies. And then you got Bitcoin bouncing off the lows here. I think it got to 57 yesterday or around that. Yeah, 57-ish was like the low. 57,100 on the spot was the low of the day, so a little bit of weakness there. As for trades, just to go through, you can go on the follow page, click our little tiles. We can go back for the date range. We could do this week. Take a look at some of these. I know we had the copper trade, which was one that both of Mikey and I closed out of. Today, I also had the 6J position, or I should say yesterday, the yen had an insane move after the close, if you saw it. I took advantage. I was literally just like looking at my phone app, and I saw that the yen had, or that I was up an extra $300 or $400 from where I closed the day at. And I was like, what is happening here? And I looked, and it was the yen. So I closed out of that position. It's higher today, routing in order to close that other position that I have on here for a $100 profit. We'll see if we get hit with that a couple ticks off from there. So that was another, you know, wild ride there.
He led me a little astray. I did talk about it on the show, and he said I should wait.
Oh.
What happened? I'm not blaming him. I'm just kidding. He's the best. Eat.
It's funny because I was talking to Frank Caberna earlier today, and we were just like, should we just buy, because he's planning a trip to Japan maybe next year, and he's like, okay. I'm thinking about just maybe like taking some money out and getting it converted to the Japanese yen and just like putting it under my mattress. And I'm like, yeah, I can't really fault you for this plan.
Yeah, it was something like a 30-year low or something like that.
Yeah, 30-year lows. So good timing for your trip, Mr. B.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you're both Mr. B, aren't you?
Yes.
I didn't really put that together. Yes. Just a second.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, crazy to see this bounce. I mean, it's not surprising, really. It's had such a crazy drop-off. You'd think that there's going to be some kind of short covering or some kind of small rally, even if it retreats back down. But yeah, I got out of my position. So yeah, got out of the Japanese yen position for a small win. I got back like $250 today. Closed it for a $12.50 winner. Amazon, I just left it after the earnings report. They rallied after earnings and they sold off, with this whole market selling off. And then today, this morning, it was up $3. So I closed that for a $137 winner. The micro / MHG, closed that one. I was just holding that short.
And then today,
copper futures, yeah.
Today got the move.
So that was a $125-ish winner.
Mm-hmm.
And
copper down, what, 1.5%?
Yeah, 1.5%.
Crazy. Crazy. And then I've got my trade of the day. Yeah. But yeah, this account has had some good days in the last couple of weeks.
Yes. Yes, it has.
Now I just need Netflix to keep rallying, and I'll be like 4 for 5 in terms of bailouts or just holding positions and letting them go.
Duration over direction.
There you go.
Right.
That's true.
Yes.
All right, should we get into some trade ideas then?
Let's do it.
I think so.
Let's go.
And if you want to join us on the YouTube channel, we're streaming live there. You can pop in your trade ideas, questions. Again, we've got Coinbase earnings, DraftKings earnings, Apple earnings after the close. So I'm sure you all have some trade ideas. Just pop over to the Tasty Live YouTube channel, and we'll get to them shortly. Mm. But yes, it is May 2nd. May the 2nd be with you.
May the 2nd be with you.
Yes.
Almost there. Saturday, right?
Saturday. May the 4th be with you.
It's sad that we won't have a show for you to mention.
To say it.
Multiple
I'll say times. It on Friday.
Yeah. Okay.
Better believe that.
Yeah.
You haven't. We've all dressed up as Star Wars characters. Have you ever been a Star Wars character for Halloween?
No.
It's not your thing?
Yeah, no.
What's your thing? I will say I watched Dune 2.
I haven't watched it yet.
I need to do that.
Great movie. But there's a lot of, I guarantee you, that's going to be the Halloween costume of the year, because there's a lot of like cool looking, very simple costumes that people will be able to make. And they got the cool blue eyes, which, you know, just buy some neon blue contacts.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole thing.
Probably. We shall see.
But
I don't want to think about October right now. We're just getting to summer.
Yes. No. True. Let's stay in the moment here.
Yeah, let's be present. Let's round.
Yeah. Coinbase has earnings after the close. Coinbase has rallied like $3 since I put this on. But I think the trade is still viable because it's a defined risk short put spread in the May cycle. So Coinbase, $220 stock. It has high implied volatility, 100%. So like going out to June and July, we're looking at $2,500, $2,000 options. So it's just too expensive to do a diagonal spread for me or even calendar spread. So I'm going with the short put spread here in the May cycle. I went to May instead of June because May has much higher implied volatility, less time associated with that contract, but enough time to where even if Coinbase sells off to 195, 185, where these strikes are, I'll have 2 weeks for it to potentially reverse. And if we do get the reversal, if that happens, the premium will come out quickly because there's only 2 weeks left. So going out to May, sold the 195, 185 put spread, got filled for 301. So about a third of the width here, 67% probability profit. The strikes here bring me down to 195, which is 25 points lower than where we are right now. The expected move for this week is 25 points, or for one day is 24 points, I should say. So just taking a little shot here, neutral to bullish. If we get any kind of rally, this spread will likely come down to maybe a dollar. Might get $200 out of this thing if we get a big rally. If we don't move at all, or if we get an inside move, maybe 50 cents to a dollar. But either way, comfortable with the risk. Looking for an upside move here after the market hemorrhage. And we'll see if we get it.
All right, all right.
Neither of us did Apple because we're already leaning long. That's I think correct. You already have a position.
I am, yeah.
I have. I actually went out to July playing the upside, of course. I'm in July with the 175 long call, and then I sold the 180 against it in the weekly. It's actually come in like 30 or 40 cents on that weekly option, but I'm going to hold it through earnings, see what happens. So playing the upside there.
Yep.
As
so,
are you.
Yep. So Apple for me, I've got, I had the 170, 180 June, April call diagonal spread. And recently I rolled the 180 April into the 177.5 May 3rd. So I now have the 170 long June option and the short 177.5 May 3rd option for tomorrow. And that is on for a cost basis of 713. So I have a 7.5 point wide spread on for 713. If we get any kind of rally tomorrow in Apple, I'll get all that premium in the short and the long option will gain value. It's basically at a scratch right now. So it's as if I'm entering into a new trade right now.
Yeah, no harm done.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Nice. Okay. What's on your radar, Mr. Batista?
I am looking at Square. So I'm playing this kind of like, or at least with the thought that it'll be similar to what happened with PayPal. PayPal had earnings earlier this week. It was inside up. I think it was up like a dollar-ish on earnings. So kind of playing the same way with Square here, adding a little bit of short premium as well to it. So Square, it's trading around 68. I'm going to June, the monthly. I'm buying the 70 call. It's right at the money. I'm selling two of the weekly. So in this May 3rd monthly or May 3rd weekly expiration, I'm selling two of the 75 calls. It has a little bit higher capital requirement than like PayPal or some of the other stocks that are in this price range because of the higher implied volatility. So I'm buying the 85 call just to cap the amount of buying power I'm using. You'd use about like 2,500 or $3,000 if you're naked, okay, without that long option, without that 85 on the upside. So, you know, buying that option for 20-ish cents or 25 cents reduces my buying power from, you know, 2,500-ish down to about 500-ish in terms of risk on the upside because it's $5 wide on that long spread, $10 wide on the short spread. So you have $5 of risk to the upside there. I did the whole trade at a $2.44 debit. So you have $7.44 of total risk if you were to hold the whole entire position, including that June option to expiration, and it all expired out of the money, you'd have that full risk. You'd have $2.40 to the downside if it expires all the way out of the money. If it goes fully in the money, you'd have up to another $5 of risk above 85 there. Selling about $2.50, 60, 70 cents of extrinsic value going into the end of the week. So you have a pretty big buffer to the downside. That's why the break even is down around 60-ish because you have so much extrinsic value coming off the table. I'm looking for like $100 profit on this if we get an inside up move, maybe to, you know, 70 or 72. That would be a ideal situation. And I take maybe $100 to $200 profit on it. Small little trade.
Sure. All righty.
Love it.
Yeah.
Not too shabby. All right. Well, I was looking for something that I could get long this morning that was relatively low maintenance. And where I wound up actually was Las Vegas Sands. So that's LVS. They had earnings back in mid-April and they dropped from, let's see, 50 bucks down all the way to the like 45 or so, I think was the low of like the day post earnings or the day of earnings. And they've kind of just been floating sideways in this like $44 to $46 range since then. So I put on a Zebra. I went out to the June expiration. So that's expiring in about 50 days. And it's just your classic, you know, stock substitution, zero extrinsic back ratio trade. I will drop a link in the chat for what exactly the Zebra is. But essentially what I did is I bought two in the money call options and sold the at the money call option for a small debit. I got filled at $4.99 was my price. And like I alluded to a little bit earlier in the show, this is looking pretty good right now. I'm up almost 100 bucks on the trade. You can, of course, if you still wanted to participate in this, adjust your strikes ever so slightly if you wanted to. But I will be keeping a close eye on this one for the rest of the day. And potentially covering it if we see a little bit more strength in LVS as the day goes on.
I like it.
Yeah.
Relative to the just buying stock, because this is a synthetic stock position, you're using 500 bucks in capital. Buying the stock would be 2,300 bucks. Mm-hmm. So you're almost getting, and that's in a margin account.
Right.
So, you know, you're getting almost 5X the leverage in terms of what you're putting up versus just buying the stock. There is a 20 cent dividend coming in early May, which isn't going to be an issue for your call, your short call. Even if it goes in the money, you probably
high
close.
Class problem.
It's a high class problem. You're probably closing the position out if you're at dividend risk in a week.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, if you wanted to do something on the premium selling side, even though, as we kind of talked about, premium has come out of there since earnings, I'd be rank 3.2, expected move over the next 50 days of like $3. You could sell like the 45 naked put, pick up $1.25, and it's like $800 or so in buying power. Mm-hmm. But the debit trade just made a little bit more sense to me this morning.
Love it.
I like it.
Yeah, sometimes when there's not much premium to sell, opens up the door for something like this.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, and that's something that we've talked about so much is, of course, we love selling option premium, but when it has been difficult, given the VIX environment we are in, flexibility in your strategy, and I mean, frankly, it's what we're talking about on the road this year too, right? Is just finding ways to still participate in a way that makes sense from your risk tolerance and also diversify you. You know, it only helps you to have more things to consider most times.
For sure. And even debit trades like your Zebra, there is a short premium component. Right. So if nothing happens, you're still a scratch. And that's a key, because with long premium, you need something to happen. Mm-hmm. And so even with, you know, the crab trades that I've been doing or diagonal spreads like we have in Apple, you have some sort of baked in decay piece to your position that makes it so that, you know, you don't have to necessarily be totally right on what happens with the stock. And, you know, so even debit trades for us will have some sort of short premium component.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, show.
All Beautiful. Right. So that's three trade ideas. I'm sure there's more trade ideas in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Let's see who we got.
I'm looking at Sally. Kicking us off here, how would you look at a post-earnings trade on Apple if you're looking at selling something in the May 3rd and buying a June 20th, puts or calls? So maybe you're talking about Amazon. Apple is reporting after the close today. So if you're looking for a pre-earnings trade, then yes. If you're looking at a diagonal spread or a calendar spread, buying June or buying July and then selling the one day is exactly what we would do. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at a post-earnings trade, so let's say Apple rallies and you're trying to play the downside, or Apple sells off and you're trying to play the upside, we would probably go long July, short the May monthly, or long June, short the May monthly, because the one day is going to have no premium tomorrow.
Yeah.
So just depends on what you're trying to do. But yeah, they report after the close today.
Yeah. when you're looking at diagonal spreads, and it's you're typically always going to have this situation unless there's an earnings event coming up in the back part of the expirations. But you know, one of the benefits to a diagonal type position is that you're buying cheaper volatility and selling more expensive volatility. So even if you're going to the May monthly, you have a spread here that that is going to be beneficial for you if volatility contracts, because this expiration is always going to have a bigger contraction than something in the back. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be profitable, but that's a benefit to the position. The vol contraction that comes in, is going to hedge you a little bit because you have 7 points of volatility differential between those two. Mm-hmm. So it's a positive for you. Of course, you want to be right on direction, but that's a good thing to have on your side is that difference in vol, because we know that after the earnings, volatility is going to come in. And we could see that tomorrow. I mean, we'll try and remember the 26, 28, and the 35 over here, and we'll check that out tomorrow.
Lovely. Colin looking at Starbucks, short the 84 put with a dividend coming up. If I roll the put, I'd be giving up the dividend, right?
No. No dividends on puts.
Yeah.
No risk.
If you're selling a put instead of owning the stock, you're kind of not, you're participating in a way, but you're not, there's nothing to give up really.
Yeah. And this is one where it's a tough, your roll is a nothing roll.
Yeah. So yeah, the dividends here doesn't really play a role anyways.
Yeah.
You'll see a little bit more premium on the put side relative to the call, but if you're like right at the money, but if you're deep in the money, it's not gonna be too effective.
Yeah, if you're in May, you might consider rolling to like the 75 strike or something like that. It's a position you don't want to be in, but at a certain point, you're just rolling forward intrinsic value, and there's nothing on your side besides direction. Mm-hmm. And so, that's a consideration you have to make. Do I want to, capture a little bit of extrinsic value here and roll to the 75, or do I just want to be long the stock, which is what the 84 strike put is?
How to adjust an AMD strangle, 150 put, 180 call?
Got to be profitable. What expiration?
In May. 150, 180?
Yeah.
What is it, AMD?
AMD.
I had, in my Johnny Trader account, I had the 175, 150 in May. Into the move yesterday, I think AMD was like 2 or 3 points lower. It was around, it got, the low was 142, so it's like 2 or 3 points lower. I was able to close that strangle out for a profit, even though it was like 8 points in the money. And that was just because volatility was so high in there that the calls, even if we look at the like little 175 calls here, these calls prior to earnings were at like, $4 or $5. They went to 30 cents, right? And the puts, the 150 puts, were trading at $4 or $5, and at the low, at the open, they were only $6. So they only moved $2 relative to the calls that lost $4, and that's all extrinsic value. Even though the puts were 8 points in the money, 7, 8 points in the money, it's crazy. Yeah. So
yeah, this is trading for $8 right now in May. So if you haven't collected enough premium to offset that, which I feel like maybe you have to. But yeah, regardless, your call's worthless. So if you want to stay in May, that's totally fine. We would go to like the 155 or maybe the 150. You can go invert it if you want to stay in the near term. But the next step would be going to June. So you could stay with the 150, 180 in June if you wanted to lean long here. The 180 in June has $1.20 in premium. If you wanted to move it down, you totally could, but that's really it. You're rolling the call down, or you're rolling it out in time and maybe not moving anything, or maybe rolling the call down too. Don't need to go inverted here though, if you don't want to. Let's see. Apple to kill the market.
Oh, I think the opposite.
I mean, I feel like it feels like the market's just looking for any reason to buy some of these stocks. Like you saw Tesla miss and they rallied. Tesla's been volatile since, but AMD rallied even though the market was down 100 points. I mean, or sorry, Amazon, not AMD, but yeah, it can happen for sure, but volatility's down. Apple's expected move is pretty low. I don't know. And Apple has like, they just like all these other stocks, they have every reason to say good things about the future because their stock is down on the year. So,
yeah.
And they've been digging into the AI stuff. So I'm sure they're going to talk about AI on the call.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to release information around that, which, you know, could be a bearish move on Apple earnings, but yeah,
certainly could. Certainly could.
We're playing it to the upside here. We'll see.
Tesla was the poster child of priced in. There was not a single thing that was good about Tesla. Not a single person bullish Tesla. And, you know, you get a little bit of a rally. That's my play. That's my thinking on Apple.
Brandon's thinking about a butterfly for Apple and coin earnings.
Sure.
Benefit to buying the wings for next week's expiration instead.
Like a equal with butterfly?
I guess. But yeah, I mean, a crab trade is literally just a regular butterfly where the long option is pushed. The long option, that's the most expensive option in the strike selection, the one closest to the stock price, is pushed out in time to give it more time value and less IV crush exposure.
Yeah.
So if you're adjusting any of the long wings out to next week, the implied volatility crush will be lower. It's gonna be more expensive, but your implied volatility crush is lower.
Yeah, so, but going 1 week out is not much different.
Yeah.
Obviously you'll have less volatility exposure, but they're gonna move, you know, if you have an inside or down move, all these options basically go to zero.
Yeah.
So, got to pay up.
Indeed.
To get some delta and some gamma on there.
Goldman Sachs, did you close the short put already? Are you going to do something to reduce losses? So, Goldman Sachs is somehow just ignored the move that we saw yesterday.
Yeah, I got nothing here. Where's my long?
We're near the highs of the year here. So my long option's out in June, my short option's in May, and I've got the 390 that's trading for 40 cents. So the 400, 390, my cost base is 855 here. So, I mean, technically I could roll the 390 a little bit closer to the June cycle. Like maybe roll it to the May 31st and move it to like the 40 or the 400, turn it into a calendar spread, but that's going to offset the probability of making money on this trade.
I just closed out of the downside of my crab trade.
We're getting a little echo in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you change something, but yeah, I think I'm going to hold here. Because right now it's acting as a downside hedge against the entire portfolio.
Yeah. It's had a significant move.
Indeed. Starbucks Iron Fly, 7085/100.
Expiration, do we know?
I do not know. But there's no earnings.
They had earnings and dropped 15-20%.
Yeah, 7085/100 iron fly would be just a bullish butterfly. So it doesn't matter if you're doing an iron fly or a regular butterfly.
You're just short the put spread now.
Yeah. Indeed. Indeed. What's the plan in Apple? Hopefully Mike is bearish. I want to go long.
Is that Stonk Messiah?
No.
Did he say that?
Hey.
Stonk Messiah DM'd me and was like, what's Mike's sentiment? I need to take the other side.
Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
The last week or so, this account has been doing really well. Yeah. So maybe it's time to follow me.
Yeah, maybe it's because you leave, which is always true.
That is
true. Always, like, when you something happens.
Yeah.
But now you're back, so... We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll see. But Apple's up $3 right now. We'll see what happens. The Apple expected move is pretty low.
Yeah.
$5, pretty low.
It's come in significantly. If you looked at it this morning, it was about a $7 expected move.
Mm-hmm.
So, vol is coming out already.
Yeah. And this is one where, like, I could easily see it going over 5 points in either direction. Mm. Just because...
Hopefully up.
But yeah, this one I would shy away from, like, strangles and stuff like that, because it just doesn't feel like that's the move here. Not much premium on the monthly cycles. Colby, can you please explain how to use a calendar as an earnings play? Sure. Do you have a stock? Any stock? Generally speaking, with implied volatility crushes. And if you go to tastylive.com and you search for earnings implied volatility crush or earnings strategy explained, stuff like that, you'll see us talking about how we look at these implied volatility structures. But in Apple, if you look along the right-hand side, you can see higher implied volatility in the near-term cycles, and it drops off as you go further out in time. The expected moves are similar in the near-term cycles, and they slowly increase as you move out in time. So that just tells you that the makeup of extrinsic value in the 1 day, in the 8 day, in the 15 day is mostly implied volatility based, and those are going to get crushed after earnings today. The further out in time you go to June, July, August, September, those are much more time-based extrinsic values, which means after earnings, those cycles are going to hold on to extrinsic value, and the near-term cycles are going to get crushed. So with a calendar spread or diagonal spread or crab trade, what we're trying to do is place our long option in a cycle that is further out in time that is largely going to ignore the IV crush to as much of a degree as we can, associate time value with that option that we're buying, and then sell the option that's going to get crushed from the earnings announcement. So the one-day option here is where we would go. Mm-hmm. So like long June, short the one-day, that's the setup that we have.
Yeah.
And with calendar spreads, we just want to make sure that the short option that we're selling has some meat to it. So, like, I wouldn't go further than, like, the 180 strike.
Yeah, that was the one I threw up there, was,
you know, to the upside.
Yeah, typically with a calendar spread, you want to have some directionality to it because they don't move all that much. I know this is kind of playing into a binary event, but if you think about calendar spreads, you know, 10 or 20% of the debit paid is kind of a target for profit on these sort of positions outside of an earnings event. So we typically buy the long option somewhere around a 40 delta in the 30 to 50 day time frame.
Yeah.
And so if you get a little bit of a move in your favor, that's really where you make the money, right? So going to a 40 delta for the long option and then selling that same strike in a shorter duration gives you a little bit of positive decay on that option. But going into an earnings, you have to keep in mind that a calendar spread, it does, you know, you're not getting any intrinsic value. So you have a lot of vol exposure. If it is a volatile move, meaning it's bigger than the expected move, you might not make anything on this trade.
Yeah,
I know that we're looking at this like on the analysis mode, and you know, you can kind of simulate this into tomorrow. But if you get a vol crush of, you know, 5 or 6 points here, and the stock goes, you know, 2 times the expected move, you might not make any money on this sort of trade. So you got to keep that in mind.
Yep. Smack Lovin's looking at Apple to the downside. So we could look at this as an example, 165 long June, short the weekly. So in this case, you would be buying the long option with 50 days to go for $3.45 and selling the 1 day option on the same strike for 90 cents. So you're reducing your cost basis by over 30%. Or a little bit under 30%, I should say. And that's a big number for a mm-hmm. 1 day option that's going to go to zero extrinsic relative to a 50 day option. So even if Apple rallies, you'll still have this 345 option on that's going to be worth less, but it's going to offset some of your losses if Apple rallies. Mm-hmm. And if Apple sells off, then you'll likely be looking at a nice trade.
See, bullish net from Harsha for earnings, short the 80 puts and long the 90-95 call spread. So it's a Super Bowl.
Short the 80, long the 90-95. Yep.
Yeah. Definitely an interesting type trade.
What's the expected move?
$13.
Yeah, so you'll be inside the expected move. You could probably move this to like the 75 and do it for a tiny credit, which gives you a break even more at the expected move on the downside. But yeah, it's a capital intensive trade. Maybe you buy just a cheapy wing just to cap how much capital you're using, because it's nearly cash secured. $5,000. I like it. Thing does move after last earnings. 80 to 110. I think we played that. Did we not? Or did I? Let's see.
I don't know.
Yeah. I had an upside crab trade long the 90. This was February, March. So I had the 90, 103, 115. So I was right there. Perfect.
There you go.
$200.
Stonk Messiah looking at DJT, Square, and Coin. DJT.
Yeah.
Shot trade. Well, literally just a meme stock.
Look at the distribution here.
Yeah.
Is wild. If you look at the puts, the at the money, like if you look at the 40s.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And this is just because, and I've talked about this a bunch of times, and I know Stonk is playing with us a little bit, but the borrow fee is over 400%. What that means is like the stock, you pay 400% of the stock price over a year to borrow and be short the stock. So you, even like if it takes a year for the stock to go to zero, you would lose 3x your investment.
Right.
That's how high volatility is here. That's how high the borrow rate is. And that's why these puts trade at 4x what the calls trade for, is because you can't, you know, most people aren't going to be shorting the stock at all, obviously. And so to be shorted via puts, it costs you a ton of money to do that because, you know, it costs a lot to be short this. So I would just be careful.
Yep.
Not tradable. If you're looking to be shorted, no call spreads, no naked calls, no call ratios, nothing on the call, no calls, because you can even be assigned on out of the money options just because of the borrow rate and because of the status of being hard to borrow.
Yeah.
People trying to get stock, you can be assigned on an option that has $200 or $300 in extrinsic value. Yeah. So just don't trade calls. Long put spreads, buying puts, even though they're super expensive, but that's all you can do.
There you have it.
To the wise.
Yes.
How do dividends play a part in calls and puts? So a dividend distribution, the dividend amount will be reduced from the stock price after X dividend. So basically it's a non-event from a transactional standpoint, which means because the stock price is set to drop by the amount of the dividend, it will be priced into the put side. So if you're long stock, you would get the dividend if you own the shares. If you're short a put, you synthetically get the dividend in extrinsic value. And you can see it in like Starbucks and these other stocks.
Yeah.
But in terms of dividend risk, if you are short a call, you want to make sure that your short call, if it's in the money, has more extrinsic value than the implied dividend. Because if it doesn't, then you're giving the counterparty a reason to exercise the option so that they can get the dividend, because they're giving up less extrinsic value than the dividend itself. So if you search for dividend risk, we've done segments on this that outlines it. So, but yeah, they're priced into the put side, and you can see
they're priced into the calls too. It's a no, yeah. Unless it's a special dividend.
Yeah.
it's already priced in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a DraftKings winner I want to manage into earnings. Crab trade from slide. June 45 put short 238 weeklies and long a 33 and a half.
Nice.
For net 289 debit. So it's winner.
Yeah.
Winner right now. To protect against the upside risk, roll the 38 put to the 39 or 40. Almost removing two times the upside risk.
You can. I might just close it and, you know, do a short put spread or something like that. Like, you're up, you know, $100 on this. A pretty good trade. Pretty nice trade. But yeah, you could, I mean, rolling to the 40 nets you another dollar. Yeah.
Love it. Phil looking at a straddle in coin in the one day. Ooh. Collect $2,500 and buy $10 wings in May. Okay. So yeah, the 220 straddle.
With $10 wings?
Yeah. So selling the straddle in the one day and then buying the May monthly wings. 10 points out.
Okay.
Yeah. So buying the 210, 230. So you're paying 375. So yeah, it's an interesting setup. Your max loss is not 355 though, or whatever the debit is, because you have these embedded credit spreads on either side.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah. So really you're playing for an inside move, of course. And you want all of that extrinsic value to offset any implied losses on your May monthly options.
Yeah, and this volatility, I mean, it's, let's just take a look. 20 points-ish?
Yeah, 20 point crush?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if we, I can just. I think this is generous. This is a generous look.
Yeah.
Into tomorrow.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just another variant of like
an iron fly.
Iron fly, double calendar, iron condor. You're staggering your shorts relative to your long to get more implied volatility exposure. Yeah. So nothing wrong with it. Just be mindful that your debit paid is not your risk here. Your risk is that buying power effect.
Yeah.
20 points plus your debit paid.
Yes.
Glorious. One, two more.
Yeah, pick them.
Let's see what we got.
And sorry, your risk is 10 points plus your debit paid.
Yeah.
Your buying power is just.
My buying power is off because I have a upside butterfly.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
How about an expected move strangle on square with June expiration earnings after the close today? So 50 days expected move is $10.
Yeah.
Over 50 days.
55, 85, something like that. Yeah. I like it. It's capital intensive. That's why I went with the crab trade because, you know, it's got a little bit higher volatility. It's close to cash secured, so. But I like it.
Yeah, a little longer term trade. You're looking at maybe a 5%, a little more than 5% volatility crush. So you can price that into your earnings if you're doing that. But yeah. I like it.
From Steven, thoughts on Tilray's chart. Have you guys traded that recently?
No.
I haven't touched it in many moons.
All the pot stocks had like a little moment this week because they had thing that came out that they were changing
regulation.
They were changing like how pot is classified, like from like a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3 or something.
Okay.
We did it.
Yeah, and everybody, you know, is bullish on these stocks, but yeah, they've all. Basically reverse here. I pulled up MSOS, which has you know, is the one that I would, is really the only one I would consider because it has options on the US-based companies which trade on the OTC, that trade over the counter, their OTC stocks, because it's not legal everywhere here, so they can't be publicly traded. And those stocks are multiple of the size of Tilray and all the others. And so I think that's probably where I would go if you want to be long the space in general.
You'd go where?
MSOS, which is an ETF. And I've actually traded it before. I think I did a covered call in there. Somebody from the chat gave me that not too long ago, maybe. Was it in this account or maybe my Johnny Trader account? Oh, here we go. Yeah, I actually closed it out in on the 1st of April. I took $100 out of it. Anyway, I think that's where I would go. Tilray itself, at $2, it's a lotto ticket. Just buy 100 shares or whatever, however many shares you want. But it's a lotto ticket.
How much of the borrow fee of 400% goes to the shareholder if you're rent, if you're lending your shares out? I think it's 50-50 split.
I have no idea.
I think there is a thing on that. But yeah, don't quote me on that. I thought we covered this last week. That's why I'm thinking of that. But
yeah, call the trade desk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll know.
Yeah, I don't know.
There is a Help Center article on it. I remember we looked at this a couple weeks ago.
Securities lending?
Yes.
I'll drop it in the chat.
Mm.
There you go.
But yes, always contact a brokerage firm.
This is a brokerage firm. When do you think we'll have meaningful, reasonable crypto regulations?
Anybody got a good guess?
No idea.
I feel like, I mean, and we've got the ETFs popping off. We've got, we're on, I mean, it's pretty much there already, right? Unless you're referring to something else. The fact that we have ETFs was the big thing this year.
But I think it's tough from the brokerage side because of like the capital that you're required to keep.
Yeah.
In that space right now, it's a big risk. So therefore, the firms themselves are being very conservative with like what they're offering and what they're saying and what they're promoting. Yeah. And
yeah, Gary G needs to be greased a little bit more.
Yeah. Hopefully soon, because like that is like my total biggest blind spot in all of trading. Like it's like all of the bond products still.
Yes.
And the crypto space. So I'm going to have to spend a little time with Mr. Ryan Grace and have him get me up to speed. Maybe we'll do a Where Do I Start Crypto?
Ooh.
I would volunteer as tribute.
I would want to be, we should do like a classroom session.
Yeah.
With all of us. Yeah. We'll just have Ryan up there. Ryan will sit right there.
A wax poetic for 20, 30 minutes.
We could all raise our hand and ask questions. That would be interesting.
Ryan is like, he's like the Oculus of crypto. Uh-huh. He's got some wild things he's doing, and with the Tasty Crypto team.
I'll drop their link in the chat. People should check it out.
Lots of innovation in that space, as you might imagine. Sure. But yeah, Ryan's the guy.
Ryan's the guy. Same with Mike Martin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Also the homie.
Mm-hmm.
Any last ones before we go eat Dave's hot chicken?
Is that what it is today?
Ooh. I'm starving.
Yeah, there's no way there's any left for us.
I told Glenn, I was like, be my homie and save me some fingies if they're there.
Yeah, I think we're done with the chats. But yeah, Apple after the close today, Coinbase after the close today.
Square
after they're close today. There's a ton more if you're looking for other stuff to do, but we're going to focus on those three for sure. Stay with the liquid stocks. Don't get trapped in illiquidity. If there's no weekly expirations, we don't trade them because that's a sign that there's not enough liquidity to make weekly expirations. So just keep those in mind when you're looking at these fringe earning stocks.
Sure.
Beautiful.
All right, that wraps up this edition of Options Trading Concepts Live. If you want to see anything in future episodes, just tweet at us. I'm at Trader Katie, Mike at Trader Mikey B, Nick at Trader Nikki Bat. 2 or 3 weeks from now, Seattle, we're coming to you. Sign up at tastylive.com/events. I don't think we've sold out the venue yet, but we would love to see your shining faces bright and early on Saturday morning. But you can also see our other events on tastylive.com/events as well. Good luck, good trading. Let's go eat some chicken. Peace.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be, trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.